I am concerned that the ADA sometimes hurts us as much as it helps. CCB President's Listserv. Bracket editor's note. Most posts on the CCB listservs are time sensitive, but the thread reprinted below discusses a topic I thought would be of interest to our broad readership. Remember, you can subscribe to the general CCB apostrophe L list. See instructions on the BC masthead. Deborah Armstrong. I am concerned that the ADA sometimes hurts us as much as it helps. I work for a large community college in Silicon Valley. We have beautiful California weather for most seasons, and the 112-acre campus is a great place to get exercise. Despite this, our blind students don't walk anywhere. There's a shuttle for the physically disabled that delivers people to classrooms, so blind students have door-to-door transportation. Page 43. They arrive on paratransit, get whisked to class, then back to the Disabled Student Services office, where they passively wait for paratransit to take them home. I myself use a special shuttle when I'm headed to a meeting in an unfamiliar building, and I also use paratransit to get to work on time. But I frequently walk all over campus, eat in the cafeteria, chat with students and faculty, and take the bus in the evenings to run errands or go out for fun. It's important to use services for the disabled so they'll be available when you need them. But I'm concerned that our young people have become so dependent. They often have been assisted by aides throughout high school and used note takers in college as well. Some of them even require a scribe for exams who both reads a test out loud and writes down their answers. This happens despite us having a modern computer lab fully equipped with access technology. I prepare textbooks for the print impaired, and blind students are encouraged to use the service. I believe it's completely fair for our office to scan and proofread a 1,000-page textbook for a student, but many of them bring me single-page class handouts to scan as well, simply because they are daunted by the prospect of learning to scan materials themselves. Page 44. Of course, we do have blind students with extra challenges, like advanced age, hearing loss, cerebral palsy, or simply they're newly blinded. It's crucial our accommodations are what a particular individual needs. My fear, though, is that accommodations become a problem when they hinder a person's ability to cope with the world effectively. Everywhere these people go, they communicate that they are handicapped and will always require special services. Instead of society spending money on Braille and O&M instruction, access technology training, and independent living skills, we fund ever more services to supposedly level a playing field. Students are not out and about socializing with their able-bodied peers the way I did in college. They aren't mastering the freedom of reciprocity. I'll help you with your math if you can phone me tonight and read to me everything the teacher put on the board. For another example, I often prepared lunch for my study group when I was young, and my buddies loved my clean, comfortable apartment to hang out often, offering to read to me in exchange for the grub. Are we raising a generation of blind people who will always need scribes, readers, and guides? Maybe this is why 70% of our working-age adults are unemployed. Page 45. Artis Basin. When I was in college 14 years ago, I was asked if I wanted a note-taker to accompany me. I said no and took notes myself. There were times in the winter when I wished I had someone to walk with, since cold and snow made it difficult to walk directly across to buildings. The smile. I do think independence is important when transitioning to work. Lena Dawes. When I was in college on campus, I always took my own notes. Often sighted and blind students asked to borrow them. I think some of this stuff, like a scribe, can be helpful. When I was in high school, I often had a scribe take down answers when they had to be placed on a Scantron. However, I usually read the test and just told the person that the answer to problem number one is A, two is B, and so on. I think part of the problem stems from teachers as early as preschool and kindergarten. If a blind child doesn't learn to read Braille as a child, the question is why? Often the teachers or the parents will try to make the child use vision. Otherwise, the child will just be taught to type and given books on tape and told he or she can read that way. I remember taking a shuttle in college. It definitely wasn't door-to-door, but I did get around the huge campus better. Since my mobility was a mess at the time, I met a lot of cool people. Page 46, Mike Keithley. As to whether the ADA is causing this unimaginative coddling, I'd say not really. Instead, I think it's caused by the passive attitude of parents that doesn't encourage proactive thinking. James Forbes, MSW, President, Humboldt Council of the Blind. Hello, all. I don't usually feel the need to chime in on notes that come down the pike on this list, but the topic of how the ADA can hurt us, our community, as much as it helps us, was mildly irritating in so many ways. I do appreciate everyone's independent perceptions, but when they appear as condemnations of others' choices, it disturbs me. Without knowing each blind or visually impaired person's personality, goals, and loves, I cannot speak for them individually. I do know this. Every college campus I've been on is large and spread out across a vast area. Again, I can't speak for each person's ability or drive to want to walk, schedule they have to meet, insecurities or fears they may have, or their choice to be straight up lazy. These traits were or are not created by legislation. If the argument is that paratransit creates lazy and passive people who just want to sit around until they can be whisked off to their next destination, and unwarranted overuse of paratransit is a product of the ADA, then I must argue against that statement. Page 47. This sounds like the framework of an age-old argument that kids these days have it too good. When I was in college, I walked 5 miles in the snow backwards and had to barter with people to access the same information they're allowed to access for just being in class. I believe that the ADA has given us access to the same information that everyone else already took for granted. For example, I love to walk on campus to classes from the bus stop to the campus coffee shop when I had the time to do so. In the last two-year program I was in, I didn't even get to choose my own classes or schedule. The classes were 3 hours long. The buildings were 2 to 8 blocks apart from each other, and I often had 10 minutes or less to get from one to the next. The sighted students were running, biking, or driving their cars from place to place. I also had no problem asking instructors to make sure any information written on any white or black board made its way to me ASAP. No paid note takers, which I have no personal problem with, but an open public request for information we all must share to remain on equal terms. I would not have received an A in calculus if I didn't have a sighted assistant who I worked with for up to 3 hours twice per week outside of class. Page 48. I wouldn't think of asking or burdening a fellow student to work with me for that amount of time each week for 16 weeks. These assistants were provided to me through the Student Disability Resource Center. Thank you, ADA, for now I don't have to make sandwiches for people and can concentrate on my 17 units this semester. Using homework or group projects as social springboards is great, if that is what you choose to do, but it doesn't bother me if you don't. Parents of all children have their own personalities and belief systems. Humans all have their own personalities and belief systems. I am an extrovert who loves a good debate or fight, and I don't walk away. Many of my blind friends and associates, as well as my sighted friends and associates, would rather not debate or argue, and will easily walk away from confrontation. Some are introverts and others feel embarrassed by having too much or any attention focused on them. There's so many reasons why people who are blind or visually impaired choose to use paratransit, and I would never begin to condemn them for making a choice. Do I encourage people in my community to get out there and integrate? You bet I do. Do some people recoil at the thought of becoming too high profile? Yes. Page 49. People shouldn't be pushed or shamed into being something they're not. as this all too often perpetuates the negative feelings and ideas that some have about themselves, their situation, and how society perceives them. Positive empowerment, on the other hand, does often work. I must be honest and state that in the past I found myself inwardly angered by blind students or people who refuse to at least attempt to integrate into mainstream society. I also wished more parents of disabled children would maybe push a bit harder at times. I also know that some people are computer or technologically challenged, and that's a cross-section of all people. As I grow, I realize that not all humans, regardless of their abilities, strive for the same things as I do. I also firmly believe that the 70% unemployment rate of the blind we all always hear about is mostly a product of discrimination, lack of education of the non-disabled, and mainstream fears, apprehensions, and stigmas. Our current economy isn't helping either. I graduated 20 months ago, have had countless interviews, and still have no job while holding 4 degrees and a positive attitude. I have seen several blind students graduate around me with master's-level degrees, and they seem to disappear after a while. The employment search becomes too difficult. Page 50, negotiation is a fine art, but please don't tell me that it builds character or puts hair on your chest to have to fight or barter for an education. I would consider myself somewhat newly blind after 10 years, and even with the AD in place, it was a constant battle with many instructors to get accessible documents and or tests. I won't even go into the details, as you all probably have similar stories. I graduated at the age of 44, and I know I am 100 times stronger today than I was as a sighted post-teenager. So I try to imagine myself as a teenager again. It's a much tougher social scene for them than for me. Finally, I find terms such as the wussification of America to be offensive. This is a gender-based term derived from the idea that weak people have feminine qualities. This discriminates against women and is an archaic idea. So how can we positively affect our community to become strong advocates for ourselves and others? As in all walks of life, some will lead and others will be glad to follow. Sometimes a path just needs to be cleared. Thanks for reading or listening. Artist, good comments, James. The ADA has definitely been good for us in many areas. Page 51, as blind persons, we have to advocate for what we need, and each of us has different needs. Smile. Steve Fort, hello all. I could not have said it better. Thanks. Margaret Buckman Garcia, Yosemite Gateway Council of the Blind. Well stated, James. ADA is the big stick that advocates need to bring down barriers and impede access. As James states, there are so many factors that come to play when it comes to the individual's drive to achieve and be confident in doing things independently. The community in which they live can play a major role. We have chapter members who have had motorists yell at them to hurry up as they cross the street, and even robbed by someone taking advantage of their inability to see their approach. These kinds of encounters and hearing of them can affect one's confidence to travel independently. ADA does not make people lazy. That's personality. Lazy is also a very subjective term in judging a person's confidence and abilities. In these hard economic times, if ADA were not in place, many of the services that provide access would have been stopped. I have attended meetings where cuts to DSS and transportation are discussed. Page 52. The one thing that has kept these services from being completely cut are the ADA regulations. I personally thank ADA when the paratransit bus is there and gets me past barriers with which sighted persons do not deal. I thank ADA when the APS lets me know the light is green to cross the street, especially when there are no traffic clues. I thank ADA when I can enter my PIN myself and not compromise my security. I thank ADA when, as an educator, I know that a student can be provided equal access to an education. ADA is about access. I thank those that work so hard to put it in place and see it enforced.